we're living in a day and age when there are many different kinds of churches. There are mega churches, large churches, medium churches, and small churches. But all churches have one thing in common. Their members are going through trials. Regardless of the size of the church that you go to, you still will go through trials. But how should we respond to our trials? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
Bread of life.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages on the book of James. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you. Because you've been a good God. You've been a kind God, a compassionate God. Thank you, dear God, for reminding us through songs this morning that we're going to make it. Help somebody today, Lord, who don't know you in the pardon of their sins, to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, so that they can see that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. Save the lost. Encourage the saved, rescue backsliders. Speak a word this morning to all of our hearts that when we leave here today, all of us can say, surely the Lord was in that place. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on and put your hands together and praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I always like third Sunday, the Sunday that the male chorus come to town. The male chorus ride up in the Bible way. And they don't be shooting blank. They be bringing some power with them. They make you wish that every day was Sunday. Amen. Couldn't you make it if you heard a song like that every day? Amen. God is good. Put a Bible in your hand and stand to your feet and open with me to the New Testament book of James. The New Testament book of James. I want to look at James chapter 1. The first 12 verses. James chapter 1. The first 12 verses. But I want to read to you the first 4 verses, and that'll be enough. That'll be enough to get us started. When you find it, say, I got it. Amen. All these Bible scholars, they got it this morning. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, you find these words. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This morning, I want to talk with you on the subject, going through your trial, going through your trial. High five somebody and tell them, Pastor going to talk about going through your trial. Going through your trial. This morning I want to begin a new study, going through the book of James. Who is this man, James? The author of this book was a loyal man. How do I know that? Because he calls himself a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that word servant is the word bond servant, a bond slave. A bond slave was a person who have served their master for 6 years, but because they loved their master so, when that master got ready to release them and they could have their freedom in their seventh year, they decided to stay with their master because they love their master. Bring me down just a little bit, Tim. And so we see that this man was a loyal man. But he also was a humble man. Because, see, actually, this James was really the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He could have easily said, James, y'all got to listen to me because I'm the half-brother of Jesus. But that ain't what he said. He says, I'm James, but I'm a servant. Matter of fact, I'm a slave. I'm a lifelong slave of Jesus Christ. That's all I want to be. I just want to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible lets us know that James was also a praying man. When you study the life of James, the Bible, our Bible scholars tells us that they call this man Campbell Knees. Because he had prayed so that his knees was hard and callous, just like a camel. They called him Campbell Knees because he was a mighty man of prayer. And in order to stay in this Christian race, if you're going to last, you got to be a mighty man of prayer. Now, this book of James is probably the most practical book of the New Testament. Most books in the Bible, they are more doctrinal books than are practical. In other words, they teach an area of theology. such as if you want to study the doctrine of Christ, the theology of Christology, you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, read those four books, and that'll tell you some Christology. If you want to know the history, the historical work of the church, then you turn to the book of Acts. If you want to know about salvation, the great doctrine of salvation and justification and sanctification, you open your Bibles there to the book of Romans. If you want to know how to set up the church, how the church is organized, and how the church do its business, then you turn to one of the epistles like 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians or Timothy or Titus or one of those books. But if you just want to know how to live the Christian life, then you just turn to the book of James. If you are going through some issues like trials, then you turn to the book of James. If you're going through some temptations in your life, then you turn to the book of James. If you're dealing with some favoritism in your life, and all of us every now and then is going to be dealing with some favoritism, you turn to the book of James. If you're dealing with somebody that talk too much without really hurting their feelings, just tell them to open your Bibles to the book of James. If you're dealing with a prideful person in your life, tell them, why don't you read the book of James? And the book of James can get you in line right quick. See, James is not like the book of Matthew. Matthew takes 28 chapters to tell you about the life of Christ, the past. James is not like Revelation. John took 22 chapters to tell us about the future. But James is not dealing with the past or the future. He only takes 5 chapters to tell you how it is right now. Because James is not dealing with the past. He's not dealing with the future. James is dealing with how you live right today. That's James. James is the kind of person that'll pull his eyeglasses off, look you right in the face, and tell you about yourself. James is the kind of preacher that will speak and don't stutter. Oh, look like we need to visit the book of James today. Notice, James don't even waste no time in this lesson. He comes right out the bat talking about trials. And I want to deal with how to go through some trials this morning, because all of us are dealing with some trials. Somebody said it this way: you're either getting ready to go into a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. And when you come out of a storm, you're really getting ready to go back into another storm. So we are dealing here with some trials. And this morning, I want you to see 3 ways that we ought to respond to some trials. Because, see, James was writing to some folks that was going through some trials. Look what he says in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, where? Which are scattered abroad. He say, hey, greetings. James is dealing with some broken families here. Picture in your mind folks who's going through a time of slavery. You know, back in the days of slavery, families was scattered. They came from Africa, but they was scattered all over America. Mama went to South Carolina, but daddy may have went to North Carolina. Children may went to Mississippi, but the other brother may went to New Orleans, Louisiana. The family, they were scattered. They was broken all up. These are the kind of people that James is writing to. He's writing to folks that are going through some stuff. He's writing to broken families, homes that has been broken all up. He's writing to people who done been broken all up, because when you don't know where your mama is at, or your dad is at, or your sister is at, or your brother is at, that will break you all up. When you don't even know sometimes where you came from, and you don't even know where you're going, that'll break you all up. James said, I'm writing to some folks that are scattered. He said, hello, y'all. James is introducing us here as we talk about the trials. And he's going to give us the way we ought to respond to trials. See, all of us will go through trials. But that don't determine whether you're a Christian. The thing that really let us know if you really are a Christian and the kind of Christian that you are is how you respond to your trials. All of us going to go through the trials, but how do you respond to your trials? I want you to see three ways that James said we ought to respond to our trial. The first way we ought to respond to our trial, respond to your trial with joy. Respond to your trial with joy. In other words, enter your trial with joy. In other words, face your trial with joy. Oh, I'm not making that up. It's right in the Bible. Look what it says in verse 2. My brethren, Christians, ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, count it all joy. He's using an accounting word when he say count. You know, in accounting, they have the debit and they have the credit. Or you can put the ledger like this. One side for God, one side for the devil. Because when you're going through trials, either the devil going to make you mess up and curse God or something. And that's a check for the devil. But if you pass the test, that's a check for God. James says, when a trial comes already, check that in God's column. Count that down for God. He said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Some Bible says temptation, but the correct translation there should be trials. Later on, he's going to talk about the temptation down here in verse number 13, 14, and 15. He'll talk about, but right now, he's talking about the trials. These outward things that comes upon us. Notice, he said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. When you fall, let me tell you something. You don't walk into a trial, you fall in a trial. You walk into temptation. We're going to deal with that next week. But you fall into a trial. Y'all ain't feeling that. That's heavy theology right there. You walk into temptation, but you fall. Come in, Brother Gerald. Come in, Brother Gerald, because I got to get some help here. Maybe I can illustrate this. Brother Gerald, do you believe this chair can hold you? Sit down. Have a seat. All right. That's good. Stand up. Sit back down. Stand up. Sit back down. He fell into a trial. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. Give Gerald a hand. Now, we just learned something about a trial. See, a trial is just like a chair that has been pulled out from up under you. See, a trial catches you by surprise. It catches you unexpectedly. Whatever you was counting on, it was just poured out from up under you. Whatever you've been leaning on and depending on, it was just poured out from up under you. Trials come unexpectedly. They don't come announced. They come unexpectedly. And you got to make up your mind how you gonna respond to your trial. A lot of times when things happen to us like that unexpectedly, a lot of times we respond with revenge. Somebody done pulled the rug, the chair out from up under us. Hey, just wait till I see them. We got revenge on our mind. We go to bed trying to think of stuff, how we gonna get them back. Because I ain't letting nobody mess over me like that. We respond with revenge, or we respond with anger, and we take it out on other folks. We come home all mad, done had a bad day, somebody done something wrong on the job, and we come home mad at the world. Don't want to speak, slamming doors there at the house. Bam! Somebody say, what's wrong with you? What you mean, what's wrong with me? And if you ain't careful, you will sink into a depression. You will worry yourself so until you don't even want to go to work. You don't even want to get out of bed. Because your problems done brought you down, 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 where you don't want to get up. It just done brought you down. But James said, that ain't how you ought to do it. He says, count it all joy. Don't let your problem get you down. He says, face your problems with joy. You ought to get all excited. You ought to get all excited that God allowed a trial to come into your life. Why is that? Because God is up to something great. Yeah, James said, you ought to get excited. See, sometimes we wonder, you know, do God know what's happening in my life? Well, when a trial comes, that's your way. That's God's way of letting you know, yeah, I know what's happening in your life. And we're getting ready to make some changes in your life. Look at what he says right here in verse number 3. He says, knowing this, knowing what, James? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Mama and them used to say, boy, you better watch it because you're trying, man. It's a good thing to be tried. When God tries you, because God, before he promotes you, he gotta try you.
Bread of life sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Send down from glory.
Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
things you were.